trial concerning the tragic death of John O'Keefe, January 29th of 2022. Continuing on is Jennifer McCabe. A key witness took the stand to provide her testimony recently. McCabe's account shed light on the events leading up to the discovery of O'Keefe's body and the subsequent investigation. We're going to hear some of that testimony in just a few moments. Jennifer McCabe is the wife of Matthew McCabe. Began her testimony. She's one of three women alongside Carrie Roberts and Karen Reed who discovered O'Keefe's body on the lawn of 34 Fairview Road on that fateful morning. McCabe recounted how she and her husband met her sister at the Waterfall Bar around 9 p.m. on January 28th of 22. "He was my friend. I loved John. He was an amazing guy," quote unquote. McCabe said that when asked about her thoughts on O'Keefe, she recalled that O'Keefe mentioned she was dating someone new and wanted her to meet his girlfriend, Karen Reed. She met Reed in July of 2020 when O'Keefe introduced them. They occasionally socialized at sporting events, birthday parties, other gatherings. Quote, "I enjoyed Miss Reed. I really liked her. I thought we connected from the beginning," McCabe shared, adding that both she and Reed had MS, which created a bond between them. On the night before O'Keefe's death, McCabe left the Waterfall around midnight. She described the bar's atmosphere that night as positive, consistent with previous witnesses' testimonies. The night and morning of January 29, 2022, things changed. McCabe detailed her communication with O'Keefe that night. She gave him directions back to the Elbert home after leaving the bar. However, O'Keefe never entered the house. She saw a dark SUV outside the Elbert home, texted O'Keefe, "Here," at 12:27 a.m., followed by, "Pull behind me." 4 minutes later, despite her attempts to reach him, McCabe never received a response. At 4:59 a.m., McCabe sent another text to O'Keefe. "Please answer. Karen is worried. We need to find you." This message was prompted by a call from O'Keefe's niece, who was with Karen Reed. Reed had reportedly gotten into a fight with O'Keefe and was distraught, reportedly asking, "Could I have hit him?" And mentioned the damaged taillight. Take a listen.
"Ms. McCabe, you then... yourself, the defendant, and Ms. Roberts then get into Ms. Roberts' vehicle, is that correct?"
"Yes."
"Seated where within Ms. Roberts' vehicle as you're going from Meadows Avenue? Or where, what was the plan and where were you going sort of first when you left Meadows Avenue?"
"We were going to Fairview."
"And why were you going to Fairview?"
"Because Karen kept screaming, we need to go to Fairview."
"Now, who was seated where within the vehicle when you get in?"
"Kerry was driving, I was in the passenger seat, and Karen was in the back."
"And what were the lighting conditions at this point that you're driving over there?"
It was hard to see out the window. You really had to be kind of staring out. It was dark. The snow was coming out the car.
"And as you're making that drive, or as Ms. Roberts is making that drive from Meadows Ave to Fairview, about how long a drive is it?"
Approximately 10 minutes. I mean, with the weather, the lights, you know, the street lights, I would say about 10 minutes, give or take.
"And as far as, during the drive from Meadows Ave to Fairview, what's going on inside the car over the course of that ride?"
Karen is in between us, like from the back, kind of pushing up in between Carrie and myself, and she's just screaming, "Carrie! Carrie!" Her name over and over, my name over and over, and repeating certain phrases. "Could I have hit him? Did I hit him?" Carrie is yelling at her to shut up, to sit back, to buckle up, to look for John.
"And while this is going on, what, if anything, are you and Ms. Roberts doing in the front seat of the car?"
"We're just, she's slowly driving, and I'm just peering out the window looking for John." I mean, it was a crazy situation. She's screaming, "He didn't come home. Could he be walking home? Where is he?" So we're just looking out the window looking for John.
"Now, during the time that this is going on and Ms. Reed is sort of screaming in between you, was that continuous, or what, if anything else, did you see her doing in the back seat while you were going from Meadows Avenue?"
I didn't see her doing anything. She just continuously screamed that. And then as we got by different landmarks, she then started, you know, screaming, asking if John could be at certain people's houses.
I think we know everything we need to know from that testimony. Yeah. It's pretty
Don't
much,
we?
It's what we've been saying, where there she was blackout drunk, suspected maybe she hit him. She's telling her friends, did I hit him? Could I have hit him? Yeah, because it seemed like probably a fairly real possibility. Maybe there was a little bit of inkling of memory of maybe something weird, and that was what was coming out of her mouth. And she's saying, did I, could I? Yeah. Jennifer McCabe described how she, her husband, and Reed began searching for O'Keefe. Reed arrived at McCabe's home hysterically screaming. They were joined by Carrie Roberts and three women and drove to O'Keefe's home and then to Fairview Road as they approached the Elbert home. Reed spotted O'Keefe's body and shouted, there he is, banging on the car door to be let out. And keep in mind, no one else knew that's where he was. It was only Karen who seemed to know that exact spot. Let's take a listen.
We drive past the flagpole area, and all of a sudden, Karen starts screaming, there he is, and she's banging to get out.
And banging on the door in the back seat?
Yes.
And at the time that she's saying this, were you able to see anything outside of the vehicle?
I saw nothing.
And what, if anything, when she's banging and kicking the door, banging on the door, what did Miss Roberts do?
Miss Roberts unlocked the door. Karen got out. Miss Roberts looked at me and said something like, she's crazy or she's batshit crazy, something like that.
And when the defendant gets out of the vehicle, where is it that she goes?
She just runs.
And runs where?
Straight to John.
And again, when she's running, at this point in time, can you see what she's running toward or where she's going or anything that she's talking about?
I was on the passenger side. So as I got out, she was already at John.
So she gets out and essentially makes a beeline over to where John was?
Correct.
And you're getting out of the passenger side, and by the time you come around the car, she's already there?
Yes.
And when she gets over there, what if anything, could you see at that point?
She straddles John, and she lifts up his shirt, and then she lifted up her shirt and went to lay on him. And Miss Roberts went over, and she was removing the snow from his face.
It's not someone that sounds like they intended to kill anybody, but it is someone who has some evidence of guilt, that knows exactly where this body is. No one else knew to go right there. Karen knew to go right there. Again, probably a horrible accident. Or a very drunken, dumb decision.
Yeah, and from the testimony, oops, sorry, my cat just hit the microphone. From testimony that we've heard, it sounds like these people really get into drinking. And yeah. I'm gonna try not to judge.
You're
everybody,
in Wisconsin.
You know, has their vices, but I'm about to judge. Because I know a lot of people that just get shit-faced every weekend.
Yum.
And then Monday, they just sit and bitch about, oh my God, I feel like shit. And I spent, you know, $300 over the weekend. It's like, okay, you've got this problem. You might want to reel it in a little bit. And I understand, you know, how some people can be really addicted to this. But this group that was hanging out sounds like this is something they did all the time. Yeah. It just so happens something really bad happened on this one occasion.
And that's what happens. I mean, you play the odds like this over and over and over, especially in a snowstorm that's coming in that they knew was going to be really bad. I mean, yeah, a lot of shit can go wrong. I mean, and it clearly did. But rather than being accountable, suddenly Karen Reed decided to change her story. And then this whole insanity of let's frame these, or that she was being framed by all these other people, ruining how many fucking lives, and these people being harassed left and right because she couldn't take fucking accountability for what was probably an accident.
Yeah. you know, there's a lot of ego on the line. You've got cops. You've, what is she, a professor? Yeah. So, you know, oh, I can't have my life ruined by this. Well, you killed somebody.
Now, let's ruin everybody and else's then.
Did because, you do it? On, you know? Yeah. You know, you didn't do it on purpose. It was an accident, but there needs to be some accountability because once you're over 21 and you're drunk, you are responsible for what you're doing. If you're under 21, then they start looking at where'd you get the alcohol, but you're still responsible.
Yeah.
Alcohol changes things. So the minute you put a drink in your hand,
yeah,
you're still responsible for your behavior and you better be careful.
I still stick with what I said originally. I think there's an argument in that car because obviously there was of some sort, but judging by the voicemails, they're all drunk. She pulls forward. She drops him off at the party. He's like drunk in the street, kind of figure, I'm going to go in, or, you know, taking there a few seconds to kind of get his bearings. She has one more thing to say, probably throws it in reverse, not thinking he's like directly behind the car, but thinking, you know, maybe he's up on the lawn right by now or something. Doesn't look, just guns it back, hits him. Maybe doesn't even see him at that point. Maybe assumes he went inside. Or maybe she did know that she hit him. Not necessarily intentionally, but maybe she knew she hit him and thought, oh shit, panics in a drunken state, drives home. Or again, maybe has no recollection of it whatsoever and probably doesn't have any recollection of it whatsoever.
Well, and maybe she thought she hit a snowbank. I mean, how many times, well, shit, I've done that. Everyone, I backed up a little too far, crunch, ah, crap. Well,
the argument there is that there weren't any snowbanks at that moment in time yet. So, okay.
Okay.
You know, you're by a curb, though, too. Maybe, I mean, there's a lot of things you may have think you did or thought you did or not even realized you hit somebody, too. And you go back and it's just enough. And maybe knocked him on his butt. She couldn't see anything and she just drives away. He maybe gets back up, stumbles around, falls himself a few times. That's probably where he got the, you know, the head bruise and all that. And she's already gone. And he passes out on the snowbank or in the lawn. And then eventually snow comes in. That seems to be the most plausible story of all of this. When you just look at the basic evidence, it doesn't need to be this complicated. Quote, I saw Carrie wiping the snow off John's face. I cannot believe that John was lying there. McCabe testified. Let's take a listen to that testimony.
I got out of the car and I came around. And for a second or two, I completely just froze. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And then Carrie and I made eye contact and I called 911. And Carrie was asking me to go to the car and get, she was yelling to get towels or blankets or something out of the back of our car.
Is that why the back of the car is opened up in the video that we just saw in reference to Ms. Roberts' vehicle?
Yes.
Did she direct you sort of where to go within the vehicle to find the blankets or the towels, wherever it was?
Yes.
Now, you called 911, you spoke to the operator and told them essentially where you were, correct?
Yes.
Now, as far as that initial, what you saw, that you froze and couldn't believe what you saw, can you describe to the jury what it was that you saw?
I saw Carrie wiping the snow off of John's face, and I could not believe that that was John laying there.
And how was John positioned, or how was his body positioned when you saw him?
He was just laying flat on his back.
And as far as the snow Ms. Roberts was wiping off his face, was there any other snow on his body at that time?
Yes.
And if you know about how much?
There was enough that his body was covered in snow.
And could you tell at that point how far Mr. O'Keefe was from the roadway as far as Fairview Road was concerned?
I mean, I remember kind of a little ways in. I don't know exactly.
And so you make that call to 911, and what is sort of going on with respect to Ms. Roberts, the defendant, and Mr. O'Keefe while you're on that 911?
So I run the blankets over to Miss Roberts, and she's kind of lifts him up, put the blankets underneath him, and she's screaming at Miss Reed to get off of Mr. O'Keefe. And they're kind of yelling back and forth. Karen's screaming, is he dead? Is he dead? I, at some points, walk over towards the car, Carrie's car, to get away because they're so loud. And I was trying to be calm and get help there for John as fast as possible. Carrie starts yelling about doing CPR. She tells Karen to do mouth to mouth. Karen's yelling because as they start, blood starts coming out of John's mouth.
As far as the CPR, that's what you're talking about?
Yes.
So during this time, the defendant's yelling and you're on the phone with 911, correct?
Yes.
You're trying to back up or distance yourself a little bit so that you can hear what's going on with the 911 operator and they can hear you.
Yes.
And after you complete that 911 call, what's going on at that point?
I go over, and at that point, Carrie asks if I can take over doing the compressions.
And did you do that?
I did, yes.
And at some point after you call 911, do either police or fire or someone responds and arrives on scene, is that correct?
Yes.
There's no reason. This is just very raw testimony. There's no reason for this woman to be lying. It is what it is. She called 911 in Robertson. Go ahead.
She sounds traumatized by what she's recounting here too. Yeah. So to me, this is some raw emotion. She's not making this up.
No.
And when you look at her face, she looks distraught.
Yeah.
You can't fake that.
Well, you have multiple people all recounting the same sort of thing too. She called 911 and Roberts and Reed attempted CPR while waiting for first responders. McCabe said that Reed, in a state of panic, told paramedics, "I hit him." McCabe also testified about a Google search requested by Reed. Reed asked her to search for information about hypothermia and how long it takes to die in the cold. "My hands were shaking," McCabe recalled, emphasizing her shock and disbelief. Additionally, McCabe informed the court about her conversation with the police officer Lank, whom she contacted after the incident. She shared the details of Reed's statements and behavior with him and the Massachusetts State Police. Let's listen to that.
Why had you asked him to come?
Well, as I was sitting there and I was waiting for the state police to come, I was slowly trying to piece together what had just happened in the last couple of hours. And he had told me, if there's anything that you remember, if you remember anything, please, give me a call.
And so there was something that you remembered and you gave him a call?
Yes.
And when he came back to the house, what was it that you told him?
I told him about the comments and the remarks that Karen Reed had been stating that morning.
And specifically, what type of remarks are you referring to that you told Officer Lank when he came back?
I said that she told one of the EMTs that she hit him.
Now, at some point, you indicated that you left the house on Fairview, is that right?
Yes.
And with your husband, I presume?
Yes.
And where did the two of you go?
We went home.
And your children were still there without either you or your husband there, is that correct?
Yes.
And once you arrived back home, what is it that you did at that point?
We went in the house and Officer Proctor was coming over to speak with us.
And that Officer Proctor, is that someone that you knew previously or had ever met?
I had never met Officer Proctor.
And did he come alone or was he with someone else?
He had another officer with him.
You know who that officer is?
Yes, Yuri Buchanek.
And had you ever met Yuri Buchanek before?
No.
When you get home, about how long was it at the time from when you arrived home with your husband to the time that the officers from the state police came by?
It was pretty quick.
Now, in addition to the officers from the state police, did anybody else come over to your house on that day, late morning, early afternoon?
Yes, my brother-in-law, Brian.
And do you know why he came over that?
Yes, he came over. I had asked him. He's like a big brother to me, and I was all shaken up and nervous and overwhelmed, and so I wanted his support.
I don't know how we got to this point in this case or why this just seems very cut and dry, honestly.
Seems like an incredible waste of everybody's time.
Yes. I don't know how the state went to second-degree murder. I don't know how they got this idea that there's some sort of conspiracy that people are getting behind that one. It's just, look, this was a horrible accident. That's what it was. I feel like I'm just screaming this, and it's like, this is all it is. This is what it is. Someone lost their life, though. So, yeah, there should be penalties for this. Everybody drunk, driving around, doing dumb shit. Yeah. And if Karen's the one that was behind the wheel in that vehicle, which clearly she was, and there's a broken taillight, and there's his DNA is on it, and she's freaking out thinking that she hit him with friends before she even finds the fucking body, she probably hit him. I don't think it was like everybody in that party, hey, let's go beat the shit out of John, and then let's make a conspire on how we're going to hide all this and frame it on Karen. We're going to do this all while we're really drunk, late at night, and when we've all been hanging out together and having a really good time. We're suddenly going to turn on somebody and do all that. Doesn't make any fucking sense.
I just think that these are people who should have known better, and when this all happened, yes, they went, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of self-preservation going on because nobody wants to be necessarily connected to this, but it doesn't necessarily mean there's a conspiracy going on to kill John O'Keefe and hide his body.
Right.
He died. He got hit by Karen is what it looks like. And end of story. I don't know. I don't know what more. I mean, this is just so strong, compelling testimony. I mean, you don't usually get testimony this strong in any case where it's just flat out saying, here's what happened. Here's other people that can back this up. And it's just, mm-hmm. Yeah, damn. I don't know. I mean, and there's still going to be weeks and weeks of this. So
it's absurd.
I'm curious to see the defense's case.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.